Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You're listening to Asia First Weekend Edition, me, Justin Moss. A very good Saturday morning to you. Crossing now to our US Bureau Chief in Washington, D.C., Simon Marks. Good morning, Simon.
Hello, Justine.
Thank you so much for joining us here in Singapore and keeping us updated. Let's go to Afghanistan first, of course. U.S. President Joe Biden, let's just talk about his latest update on the U.S. evacuation process. He updated Americans and also the situation at the airport. We've seen the harrowing pictures here.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a big moment for Joe Biden, coming at the end of a week where his presidency has been seriously tarnished by the events that we have all been watching in Afghanistan. And on a variety of different fronts today, President Biden made news. Let's talk specifically about the main pledge that he made, which was to bring every American home who wants to come home from Afghanistan. That was a direct pledge addressed to them, looking straight into the camera and telling them that if they wanted to come home, he will not give up the effort until they have returned to the United States. He was pressed on whether that means that he might extend the current military operation beyond August the 31st, which is the current date on which it's supposed to end. He once again maintained, as he did earlier in the week, that he thinks it's possible that they can get the job done by the end of the month. But if it isn't, they will certainly look at the possibility of an extension. He was asked whether this commitment to bring all Americans home extended to the Afghans that the United States has offered refuge to, between 30 and 50,000 of them, depending on which set of numbers you look at. He said that, yes, absolutely, the United States is committed to airlifting those Afghans who assisted the United States and international forces in Afghanistan over the last 20 years. In some cases, these are men and women now being hunted down door to door by the Taliban in Afghanistan. They are terrified and they want to get out with their families. So President Biden said, yes, he absolutely was offering to airlift those Afghans out. However, he insisted American citizens are his first priority. And whether what will happen if by August the 31st he were to conclude that he's got all the Americans out, but there are still Afghans left to evacuate, he sort of left that open. He said that they were very important to him, but American citizens are his first priority. There's two sets of problems here. First of all, the White House has no idea how many Americans need to be evacuated. The National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, last night, at the end of a week of dissembling over the numbers at various points, the White House said there were 5,000 Americans in Afghanistan to bring home. Then they said 10,000. Then they said, well, maybe there's 12 to 15,000. Last night on television here, Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, finally disclosed to the American public the White House simply doesn't know how many Americans are in Afghanistan. They are urgently trying to get a clear picture of that. But they also don't seem to know how many of these Afghans that have applied for special immigration visa status are out there. There's no database, no single database of the Afghans who assisted the United States and international allies over the last 20 years. So these numbers are all over the map. We know that there are 10,000 people currently waiting at Kabul airport to be evacuated. Flights were paused today. They described it as a brief pause, but when officials were pressed, it became apparent that that brief pause had lasted 8.5 hours. And that was because the government in Qatar said, don't send any more refugees here until you've processed some of the several thousand that are already here, because they felt that the humanitarian situation at the airbase where they are being processed no longer would allow them to take more refugees in. That pause has now been lifted. Flights are supposed to be taking off again from Kabul airport. But the other big problem is, how are all these people going to get to the airport? And the most sort of jaw-dropping aspect of President Biden's presentation today was that, despite all the reporting to the contrary from the scene, from media organizations, from people who are in the crowd outside the airport in Kabul, all the pictures of chaos and pandemonium, of U.S. troops firing warning shots into the air, of the Taliban chasing, harassing and beating, even in some cases, foreign citizens, Americans. A German citizen got shot during the course of the day. No one is quite sure by whom. He was injured. Despite all of those images, President Biden insisted that, as far as he understood it, Americans were able to get to the airport. The Taliban were happily inspecting their documents and sending them through the checkpoints. It was only when they got to the mad crush of thousands of Afghans who are not eligible for evacuation to the United States that they were having problems. Even as President Biden was making that claim publicly, his own defense secretary was on the phone with lawmakers on Capitol Hill, telling them that the Defense Department did have evidence that the Taliban was beating up American citizens, sending them away from the airport, refusing to allow them through, and that he had communicated to Taliban officials that this was unacceptable to the United States. We've also learnt that for the first time, U.S. troops have left the airport perimeter. At some point, they appeared, in President Biden's telling of it, to drag 169 Americans who were having trouble accessing the airfield, to drag them over the walls surrounding it. The Pentagon later said that they had simply very briefly left the airport and hadn't traveled very far, just beyond the wall, to help pull those 169 Americans through. But it's obviously absolutely chaotic at the scene, and yet President Biden either doesn't know that or was actively engaged in a failure to communicate all of that with the American public today.
Sounds like there's definitely some miscommunication up there. And Simon, you know, he was criticized for expressing little emotion, but he suggests that he's seen no evidence that he botched that military withdrawal and that it had cost him that support and credibility around the world.
Yeah, I mean, so in terms of his position on the withdrawal, he says that no matter when it took place, if you'd done it 15 years ago, 5 years ago, or 5 weeks ago, it was always going to lead to a messy situation on the ground in Afghanistan. Well, that's certainly not what he had been telling the American people in the weeks and months leading up to the withdrawal. And there is copious evidence to suggest that intelligence agencies, plus we now know definitely 24 diplomats in the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, tried to raise the alarm and warn the president that he was pulling troops out much too rapidly and that the Taliban was preparing to make a countrywide offensive that would sweep the Afghan government from power and usher in a new era of Taliban rule in the country. In terms of his sort of lack of compassion that many people argue he has demonstrated through the week, he did try to make amends for that today. For the first time, he said that the pictures that we've all been watching from Afghanistan were gut-wrenching. They were heartbreaking. They were accompanied today by images of some people in the crowd hoisting infants and babies up over their shoulders and passing them to American soldiers in the hopes that some of these children might somehow find their way onto planes. There have been several medical emergencies in the crowd. You may have seen the video of a baby being being handed over to an American soldier. That baby was apparently given medical treatment and then returned successfully to the baby's father. So President Biden said that any human watching this would be affected emotionally by the imagery that we have witnessed. But he insisted this withdrawal from Afghanistan by the U.S. was always going to be messy. And he also claimed that it has not cost him credibility on the world stage, which is pretty extraordinary for anybody who watched the British Parliament this week formally rebuke him for what he did in Afghanistan, who has seen the alarm that his decision making has caused in places like Paris, Berlin, Canberra, where governments are having to scramble to get their citizens and their servicemen and women out. He insists that what this is all showing is that America remains a leader globally and militarily. We are where we should be, he said, leading the effort to evacuate all of these citizens from Afghanistan. But there is no question that his global credibility has taken a hit. And he just, I think, wasn't willing to acknowledge that today.
And he again suggested that there will be time, I guess, later for recriminations. But Congress planning to begin hearings soon.
Yeah, I mean, he might like those conversations to take place later rather than sooner, but that is not the way things are going to play out here. We think congressional hearings are going to begin in the next few days. There is an intensity of anger. And it's not just among Republicans. It is also among many Democrats on Capitol Hill and more broadly through the Democratic elites here. People like the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, have publicly been articulating support for the president's position. But there are many other Democrats that are piling pressure on the White House. And they're doing so partly because Congress is not an inanimate actor in all of this. Individual members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, are being contacted themselves by military veterans, by NGO directors, by media representatives. They're being furnished with lists of people who helped them, and they're being asked for assistance in getting them out. So members of Congress are directly engaged in terms of answering questions from their constituents about this crisis that has engulfed the Biden administration. And they've got major questions for President Biden, almost regardless of party. And I think when these congressional investigations get underway, there's going to be one key issue to watch for among several. If the Biden administration, as it claims, knew that this military withdrawal was always going to be sticky, it was always going to be a mess, as President Biden said this week, there was no way of getting out clean. Given that they say they knew that, they must therefore also have known that an evacuation operation was going to be required. And if you knew an evacuation operation was going to be required, why on earth would you have decommissioned the Bagram Air Base in the middle of July rather than maintaining it up until the last minute in case you needed to use it for evacuations? What we've seen this week is that the very military specialists that the U.S. sent in to decommission Bagram back in the middle of July are now back in Afghanistan trying to stand up and maintain operations at Hamid Karzai International Airport. So there are huge questions about why that strategic decision was made. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, indicated this week that it was all about available resources. He wasn't being given the resources he needed simultaneously to maintain the airbase at Bagram and keep the U.S. embassy in Kabul open. We had to decide which one of those two to collapse, and so we collapsed Bagram because we needed to keep the embassy open. That, with hindsight, many of the president's critics will argue, was a catastrophic strategic mistake.
Simon, Vice President Kamala Harris visiting Singapore from tomorrow until Tuesday, and then she'll be in Vietnam. I guess there's lots of good things on the agenda. Of course, China's growing influence, COVID-19, but of course, the speed of the collapse of Afghanistan, with U.S. foreign policy very much the focus as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to accompany her on this trip. And she, by the way, Justine, was flanking President Biden today at the White House, along with Secretary of State Antony Blinken. They were both standing right behind him as he made those remarks and took questions today. The White House says that while she will indeed be focused on those meetings in Vietnam and Singapore and the regional issues that are on the agenda, she is also absolutely going to be relentlessly maintaining contact with Washington and will be part of ongoing conversations about Afghanistan that take place here all weekend. President Biden has scrubbed a plan to go home to Delaware for the weekend. He is staying at the White House, where he's got access to the Situation Room and all of his communications equipment. And she clearly is going to spend quite a bit of time on various video conferences with Washington. She also knows that she is going to face the same kind of questions from governments that State Department and other officials here have faced from reporters this week about whether President Biden can be trusted with America's commitments to the region. The State Department spokesman has come under questioning on numerous occasions this week from reporters from Japan, from South Korea, from Taiwan, who all want to know if the president's commitments to people in those locations are safe and secure, or is there a risk that at some point he deems, for example, that America has no national security interests in the Korean Peninsula and might suddenly pull the rug out from beneath the South Koreans. At every step of the way, the State Department, of course, has insisted no, that's not the case. The commitments are ironclad. They always have been. They always will be. But it is a further demonstration of the alarm that Joe Biden's handling of Afghanistan has created in many parts of the world. And that is going undoubtedly to be right on Kamala Harris's agenda over the course of the next few days, because her interlocutors will want to raise it.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.